السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله لفضل كرم إحسان الله سبحانه وتعالى. We find ourselves once again on a Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. Currently we are in the Mubarak month of Rajab. Now, Rajab is the month of Allah Ta'ala. After Rajab, Sha'ban, and then the wonderful month of Ramadanul Mubarak. So, according to many ulama, an incident which is one of the greatest miracles of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which we know as Mi'raj. So this took place in this month of Rajab, according to many ulama. There are also other opinions that it happened in some other month. With regards to the date, there are various opinions which date did it really take place. You must remember, this happened in the early days of Islam before coming to Madinah Munawwara. The calendar itself was not even put right. By then, the calendar itself also was not even put right. There was a lot of mix-up in the calendar. The mushrikeen, if they felt that, okay, this month is Muharram, they make it Muharram. Next month they say, no, I think now next month we make it Zulqa'dah. They make it Zulqa'dah. Whatever their reasons were, So, the whole calendar also was mixed up. So, that's why you'll get a lot of differences of opinion on certain dates. And then some ulama say that, no, it took place on the 27th of Rajab. So, this incident of Mi'raj, wonderful incident in the life of our beloved Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it was also a test of iman. Test of iman. One is, it was a great miracle. Allah Ta'ala mentions that in a portion of a night, ulama explain, some say quarter of an hour, some say one third of an hour, this whole thing took place. This is what Allah Ta'ala can do. Allah Ta'ala can do anything. So Allah Ta'ala took Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from Makkah Mukarramah. First Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was taken to the Baytullah, to the Kaaba Sharif. You know, before we continue, we don't have to discuss this incident only in Rajab. And alhamdulillah, the students throughout the year, those that are studying tafsir, those that are doing 15 sipara, so they'll discuss it. Whichever month it comes, they'll discuss it there. In the hadith kitab, whenever that section comes, whatever month it is, we'll discuss it there. It's not like you only discuss this in the month of Rajab. However, because in this month, there is a hype about it, because it took place in this month, so ulama then mentioned few things. One is to educate us, and also to save us from bid'at and wrong beliefs, etc. So, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was first taken to the Kaaba Sharif. Now, there's a lot of detail to this. We can't go into all the details. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's Mubarak chest was split open, heart was taken out, something was put into the heart. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken to Baytul Maqdis, what we call Palestine, Masjidul Aqsa. So this part of the journey, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam traveled on the Buraq. The Buraq, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it was bigger than a donkey, smaller than a mule. And it had wings. Now this animal was brought from Jannat. as a conveyance for Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat. Yet, at other times, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't have enough conveyances to give the Mujahideen to go in jihad. Allah Ta'ala mentions it in the Quran Sharif, that they would come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't have a conveyance to give them, and they would turn around with tears in their eyes, that they are unable to go out in jihad. Today we got tears in our eyes when we are chosen for deen. When we are chosen for deen, we start crying. They wanted to do for deen, and now they didn't have the means, they started crying. So, if Allah Ta'ala wanted, He could have given, if Allah Pak could have sent a buraq for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how many horses Allah Pak could have given Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? But Allah Ta'ala tests everybody in a different way. Everybody has to make sabr in the test and be content, be tolerant, and be pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken with the buraq from Makkah Mukarrama to Masjidul Aqsa. And then from Masjidul Aqsa, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken up to the heavens. Each heaven, there's all a lot of detail in the Hadith Sharif explained how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went in the first heaven, which Nabi of Allah ta'ala he met, second heaven, third heaven, and then how Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conversed with Allah ta'ala, spoke to Allah ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam salah as a gift for the ummah. Certain ayat were also given, and the gift of salah was given. And initially, Allah ta'ala gave 50 salah. When Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was coming down, he met Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam asked him, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that Allah ta'ala has given me this 50 salah for my ummah. And Musa alayhi salam told him that, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, return to Allah ta'ala, ask Allah Pak to reduce it. I have experience with the Bani Israel. Your ummah may not be able to manage this. Go back. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went back, Allah Pak decreased it, made it 40. Musa alayhi wa sallam sent him again, up, down, so many times, till eventually it was 5. When it was 5, then too Musa alayhi wa sallam told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, no, go and get it reduced even further. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said no. So he accepted the 5. So when our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had confidence in his ummah, that they will read 5, they will manage. Then imagine if we still then don't read namaz. And Allah Ta'ala is so merciful that Allah Ta'ala then told Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, okay, I give you the 5 namazes which is faras for your ummah, but from my side, the sawab will still be for 50. From their side, they will only have to make 10% the effort now. They were supposed to read 50. From their side, I reduced it to 5. They only have to make 10% effort. But from my side, what sawab I was going to give them for 50, that I will still give them. I'll still give them. This is the mercy of Allah Ta'ala on the ummat of Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How fortunate we are that we are ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how foolish we are to then leave the tariqah of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and choose the ways and the lifestyles and the methods of the enemies of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was then taken from Masjidul Aqsa, taken up. That part of the journey was not with the buraq. That part of the journey was with a type of a carriage that Allah Ta'ala had sent for Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go up. So there are many marvelous things that took place on this night. Allah Ta'ala showed Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam many secrets, many things of the unseen, not everything of the unseen, but many things of the unseen, things of Jannat, things of Jahannam, Malaika. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, and at some time, whether it was going time, whether it was on the return, Allah Ta'ala gathered all the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam at Aqsa, Masjid al-Aqsa, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam made imamat. And all the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam read namaz behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam gets the title of Imamul Anbiya. That he is the imam of all the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam. So, the main thing, the take-home message from this whole incident of Mi'raj is Salah. But, over and above that, there was many, many other things, many, many other lessons, many other advices. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam also gave advice for the ummah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was shown so many things. That if you commit this guna, is that azab. Commit this guna, that azab. Different stages in Jannat. So a person needs to study the whole incident of Mi'raj and take all the lessons. The most important lesson is that of Salah. So we need to check that how much of Salah is in my life. And when it comes to Salah, Allah Ta'ala doesn't just instruct us to perform salah. But Allah Ta'ala instructs us to establish salah. Establishing salah and performing salah, big difference. Big difference. One is just reading namaz, you're just going through the motions. And the other is to establish salah. If a person truly establishes salah, Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq first. If a person really truly establishes salah, then he will be in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala all the time. It's such a training. There's so much of noor in this ibadat of namaz. If there's no other posture that a person can get closer to Allah Ta'ala than sajda in salah. Namaz is a mi'raj of the mu'mineen. The mu'mineen, their mi'raj, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his mi'raj, he went up to Allah Ta'ala. Now, we mustn't think Allah Pak is somewhere, sitting somewhere, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went up. Allah Ta'ala is everywhere. Allah is omnipresent. Allah is everywhere. It's not that if you go in the first heaven, you're closer to Allah Ta'ala. And if you're on earth, then you further away from Allah Ta'ala. No. Wherever you are, Allah Ta'ala is closer to us than our jugular vein. But Allah Ta'ala chose that particular place that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam must go up the heavens, and there Allah Ta'ala will give Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam certain wahi. Directly. Normally the wahi was coming with Jibreel alayhi salam and other ways. But here Allah Ta'ala chose that directly Allah Ta'ala wants to give Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam certain revelations. Understand? So that is in the hikmat and the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this establishing, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went up, our mi'raj is when we read namaz. That's the closest we can get to Allah Ta'ala when we put our head down in sajda. The closest we can get to Allah Ta'ala. If a person has to really read his salah with khushu, wuzu, proper concentration, knowing full well that I'm standing in the presence of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala is listening to me, Allah is hearing me, Allah is watching me, Allah knows what's in my heart, what's in my mind. If a person truly has to read his namaz like that, what marifat of Allah Ta'ala he'll get, what qurb of Allah Ta'ala he'll get, muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala he'll get. So Allah Ta'ala bless us that we are able to establish namaz. Allah must give us tawfiq. We can establish namaz in our lives, you know. There are two things with regards to mi'raj. As with everything, most things in life. One is what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us. That is the middle path. And then you will get extremism. You'll get extremism. So with regards to Mi'raj also, you get extremists. So on the one side,
You get those people who they try to say that no, 27 Rajab is a big night. Why? Because it's Mi'raj night. So the Mi'raj, whichever night it took place on, it took place on that night. It doesn't recur. So unlike Laylatul Bara'ah or Laylatul Qadr, right? Or the last 10 nights of Ramadan Sharif, or the 10 nights of Zulhijjah, the nights of Eid, etc. The virtues of these nights are recurring. Every year they recur. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us that. But nowhere we'll find that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about some recurring virtues on the 27th night of Rajab. Understand? Then some people say that no, there's a special namaz to read on this night. You must read some certain surahs special to read on this night. Then you must fast. You've got a special fast to keep. All these are innovations. On the one side, you get that group of people who go out of their way to try and attribute certain virtues and significance to this night, which is not found in the deen. And on the other hand, you get others who try to downplay this whole incident of Mi'raj. To such an extent that they say that no, this Mi'raj was not a physical ascension. Like how you see dreams, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a dream. Now this is the other extreme. So we must remember that this is part of our belief. It's part of our iman, part of our aqidah, that this was a physical ascension. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam physically went up. It wasn't something that was in a dream. And what is the best proofs for this come from the kuffar themselves. What's the proof? You see, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned Mi'raj, now the next day, so Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is educating the Sahaba radiallahu anhum with regards to what happened the night before. And this, from here we take example that we must teach our deen as it is. Now obviously Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew, if I'm going to go and tell the people this, it's going to raise eyebrows. Right? At that time, people didn't have lips, they didn't have aeroplanes, they had no jets, nothing. Just to get onto one camel, they needed one box to get onto a camel. And here there's a person saying, I went up the heavens to go from Makkah Mukarrama to Masjid Al-Aqsa take them couple weeks. And you saying in a portion of the night, forget only going Aqsa, you went up to the heavens also. Where was your oxygen tank, your astronaut suit, that, how you manage all this? But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't worry about those things. He had to give the deen of Allah ta'ala. What you think about it after that, your problem. Ma'isha radiallahu anha's nikah to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when she was 7 years of age plus minus. She started living with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when she's 9 years of age plus minus. So when we are teaching this, we don't have to make up any stories. Start using our logic. No, how can we say Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married her at 7? How can we? That's our deen. That's what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, because that's what Allah ta'ala commanded him to do. We don't have to shy away from anything of that. We don't have to say no because we're sitting in front of politicians now, so now we can't talk what our deen truly is. We're sitting in front of the leaders now, we can't talk our deen, what it truly is. No. We must give our deen as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave it to us. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and he explained, so obviously now the kuffar were having a field day now. That, oh, now eventually we really realize now that, wa na'uzu billah, this is just stories now. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu an, he was not there at the time. So they went to find him. So when they found him, they told him, they said, hey, now you heard what your friend is saying. Because they thought now, even Abu Bakr, now this is one story, he is not going to believe. No person is going to accept something like this. So they told Abu Bakr, now you heard what your friend is saying. He said, what is he saying? He's saying that in a portion of a night, he went from here, Makkah Mukarrama, he went to Masjid al-Aqsa, and then he went to the heavens. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu asked him, did he really say that? So they said, yes, he's saying that. He said, well, if he is saying that, then I believe it. If he is saying it, I believe it. It's true. So the lesson we learn from there, is Sayyidina Abu Bakr, he never used his logic. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying it, I accept it. Finish. So that's the other thing we must learn. And that iman of his got him the title of Siddiq. That's how he got the title of Abu Bakr Siddiq. So we must also make amal on this. That whatever Allah Ta'ala has told us, whatever Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, that is my deen. I accept it. I confidently make amal on it. And I know full well that there can only be khair and goodness in it. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, give you tawfiq, grant the entire ummah tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.